Hello and welcome to the Out of Ink podcast with myself, Bea Baranoska and Molly Lemon. This is a podcast where two anxious creatives talk openly and honestly about life as an artist.
Right, let's start again. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Bea.
Hello, Molly.
We're literally, I don't know about you, I'm drenched in sweat.
Yeah. What was our other podcast episode where we were like, we're so sweaty? It was an early one, a really early one.
I don't know. I did think about messaging you and being like, is it okay if we record and I'm in my bra?
I think that would have added to the ambiance quite a lot.
Oh, God.
You're not allowed to make me laugh too much today because the baby's asleep just behind that wall and, like, it's in no one's best interest for him to wake up prematurely.
Oh, God.
Me and Molly, we have squeezed this recording to basically zero time.
Yeah, because we were so organised this month. I mean, like, set a date 2 weeks in advance, but then poor B got the flu or COVID or something, and we had to cancel it.
It's been a horrible week, to be honest. I was sick, and then the second I got better, my baby got sick, and then the second he got better, Adam got sick, and now I'm, like, looking after, I'm looking after everyone in the household. It's a bit much.
That is horrible. And you're about to go on holiday tomorrow, which is, this is real holiday vibes right now.
Oh, Adam said to me this morning, don't get your expectations up. I don't know if I'm well enough to go tomorrow night. I just feel, I feel very sad about it.
Oh no.
But also, like, it's such a long drive and, you know, no one wants to do that feeling like they need to be in bed, so.
No, horrible. But then if he, like, just, if he's just gets through the drive, which is easier said than done, then he's there.
I wish I could do the drive, but we're going in his car and can't drive it. Anyway, so that's beside the point. We should start. We have a lot of questions. Like, considering we are so limited for time, this episode seems to have accumulated the most questions we've ever been asked, which is fun.
Oh, God. So first of all, though, before all that, we need to go into the anxiety scale. I wonder where we are on that today.
I gave Molly such an easy win because she asked me what my choice was when I was so ill and I just couldn't think. And I gave her the worst option ever and she was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to win. And she won by like 80% or something disgusting.
I feel like you were trying to sabotage our podcast by giving us shapes as an option. Because if they'd voted for that, if the world had gone mad and they decided to vote for that, we would have had to do the world's most boring anxiety scale. Like, oh, I really like a circle.
No, but
like, what were you thinking?
I'm sorry, but we're creative people and I love a shape. We could have got really creative. No. I think it would have been great, to be honest. I'm going to keep pitching it each week.
The biggest shock for me was people did vote for it. I thought it would be literally zero people. Maybe your dog account might have voted for it, but no.
Honestly, it didn't. It didn't. I looked at it and I was as surprised as you. But to be honest, I did lose appallingly. So I think you should start because, you know, you won.
Okay. So this week's anxiety scale is antipasti/nibbles.
Yeah, antipasti is basically just a fancy way of saying, like, crisps and olives, isn't it?
Things you give people when you're still cooking and they arrive and you need to feed them.
Yeah.
So at number 10, I have pickled garlic. You know, when it comes in, like, oil. Don't like that?
I mean, maybe chopped up in a dish, but you're just eating the garlic clove.
Yeah, and, like, you get it sometimes amongst olives and it's the best bit, so you can buy it on its own.
I do like that, but you, gosh, you have weird taste.
At number one, I have cream cheese stuffed peppers. You know, the red peppers with the like, there's no texture other than goo. Horrible.
I think you don't really like cream cheese, do you?
I don't really like peppers that much either, unless they're raw.
No, okay. Yeah, that's not the best antipasti.
No, and it's just slosh. Gosh, I'm powering through this. we're going to stress our listeners out by the speed we're going today. Today, I am olives with lemon and cumin.
Considering the stress that we've both had this morning, I don't think you can be higher than a 3. I'm going to put it at a 3.
Yeah, it's a 3. Because olives, I really like olives. They'd normally be like a 5 or a 6. But if you add lemon and cumin to them, horrible.
That's really niche. I'm guessing you've had that.
No, it's not niche. Like, Sainsbury's sell them, Co-op sell them. No. And Sam always brings them home, and I'm like, I don't like these ones.
But I like cumin and I like lemon, so I don't see how it could go wrong.
It's horrible.
I'll try them next time I come round your house.
No.
Right. Okay, hang on, let's open the phone. 10. Lovely yep. day.
Yeah.
I put artichoke hearts.
Oh, that was my number 9. So good.
So good. Like, yeah. And also what's good about them is that I just hardly ever have them, so they feel quite special when you have them.
That's because they're so expensive.
Yeah, and if you buy, like, an artichoke and try and make them yourself, it takes hours and hours. So I just don't think people do that. Right, okay, and then number 1, bad day. I typed this out and I definitely not spelt it right. I think it's pronounced prosciutto. They're like, yeah, it's like, prosciutto. You can like see through it, the ham, you know? Yeah. And it's, I know I'm a vegetarian, so I wouldn't eat it anyway, but like, oh, it tastes so bad. It tastes like feet. Yeah. It's so thin and awful. I feel like as someone who I know for a fact likes weird things like, what's it that you really like?
Give me some clues. Oh, salami.
I know you like pepperoni. Salami, but no, I'm talking about the horrible thing that you and your mum like eating with Christmas dinner. You don't eat it anymore. Stop. No.
Crackling.
Crackling.
Oh, I love crackling.
It's on par.
I miss meat so much.
Okay, I don't, and that's why.
One of my worst memories is going around my friend's house when I was like 10, and they gave me this ham. I don't know if it was prosciutto ham, but it was so salty and chewy and I couldn't swallow it, and I just kept chewing it, and it was horrible.
Yeah,
it might
yeah,
have been that.
That is that. It has the worst consistency. I honestly, yeah. I see it on people's like fancy like sharing platters, you know, like at Italian restaurants, and I just think it's horrible. It's horrible. Okay, today I've just written anything labelled prawn cocktail other than crisps. So like talking like an actual prawn.
I so agree.
Yeah,
horrible. And I just don't like the fact that heads and legs are all there.
It's horrible.
I don't like it at all.
I'm not a fussy eater at all, but like I don't like prawns, and I've never liked prawns, and I don't think I'll ever like them.
No, I agree. I love prawn cocktail crisps.
They don't taste like prawns though, do they? And they don't have heads and tails.
They're just sweet. That made me think we should do a fish anxiety scale.
I'll pitch it next week.
Yeah, okay. You might win.
Right, what number is a prawn cocktail then?
Oh, sorry. It's a 3.
It's a 3.
Yeah. But I think by the time we actually sat down here, we were both ones.
Molly stressed me out so much because I had to get the baby down for a nap at a really precise time in order to orchestrate this record, and I said to Molly, right, he's gonna be down at 10 at 10. Molly messaged,
no, you said 10 to 10:15.
I said be ready for 10 after I said that. Anyway, at 10, Molly messaged me and saying, I'm just at the post office. Literally, my heart's never beaten quicker in my whole life. So yeah.
I'm sorry, I just haven't, just the most stressful morning. I know you are too. Eat together, absolute nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. I think we'd just spontaneously combust if we met up today. Right. Oh, horrible. I'm so hot, it's awful.
This is my least favourite ever podcast for God.
I'm literally so sweaty. And I hate this heat wave. It can just do one. Okay, this week is the Molly Show. Because we're talking about markets. And I honestly, I did used to do markets. I've done markets in the past, but I don't really like them and I don't really do them anymore. And Molly definitely knows a lot more about this topic than I do.
How many markets have you done?
I could probably count them on both my hands.
Oh, that's quite a lot.
Well, I did the Bristol one that I met you at a few times. Did the Froome market a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Did some random ones in Bath. Maybe I've maybe done 8 markets in my whole
that's
career.
Quite a lot. I do about 8 a year.
Well, yeah. And I also haven't done one for, I was trying to think actually this morning when my last market was, and I couldn't tell you. It might have been the Bristol.
I think it was the one just before COVID, because I don't think you've done one since I've known you.
No.
You thought, oh, I've met my best friend ever now, I don't need to go anymore.
Yeah, that was the only reason I was doing markets, let's be honest. Trying to catfish the crowd.
What?
No, please. I don't know what I'm saying. It's too hot.
It's just too hot to make any sense, which is why I'm worried about this next.
I don't even know what catfishing is.
You can catfish friends, to be fair, but quite hard to do in person.
I have to take my glasses off so many times just to wipe my face.
I know, as if I'm sweating isn't bad enough, I'm now also crying.
Oh, right. Let's go. Let's get this over with. Okay. Oh, let's just see. Let's see.
That's not the attitude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your questions. Obviously, this is a popular topic because there were, what, like 30 questions maybe that you've cut
loads.
Down? Loads.
Maybe more than 30.
Yeah, I was quite scared by it. Hopefully some of them overlapped though, and hopefully we'll just give you like an overall discussion.
Yeah, I didn't write them all down because some of them were the same.
Yeah. Okay, so question number one. What was the first market you did? How did it go? And what was your art like then? Well, I'm sorry, that's three questions.
Go on, answer all three now.
My first market was probably the Froome Independent, but you know, you've been to the Froome Independent, haven't you? But
yeah.
You can do it as like a seller, or you can do it as what's called a suitcase sale.
Cheaper.
Yeah, they literally put you on the road they can find next to a bin. You do only pay like £20, but no one wants to come to your stall because no one can find you, and second of all, yeah, you're by a bin, it's not the vibe. So that was the first, maybe I can't really remember. I feel like that was maybe
that's a scathing review.
Froome Independent Market is actually my favorite market, and I'll talk about it more
back pedal.
But you have to book a main pitch because honestly, the suitcase one was not the one.
Yeah, just because something's cheaper, it might be a reason that's cheaper. But a good place to start out and suss it out if you couldn't afford to go the whole hog.
Yeah, I think I was more worried about filling a whole space at the time, because my art looked nothing like it does now, and I only had like a few prints, a few cards. I couldn't have filled a whole table.
Yeah, that's fair. Did you answer all three questions? How did it go?
Not that great, and I did answer what my art was like. It was bad.
Yeah. Okay. I can't remember which was my first, so I'm just going to go with the one that I remember being earliest. It's kind of how things work. So it was in Honiton in Devon, and it was like a local show. And I'm not actually from Honiton. I didn't live in Honiton, so I didn't really know anyone. I think it helps to do a market where you know the locals that will come and pity buy from you. That's nice.
Oh no, I definitely answered this wrong, because my first market was definitely the village church fete when I was like 12.
Yeah, does that count?
I was selling little textile cards I'd stitched. It does count for sure.
Okay. And I had two wood engravings and the rest were like paintings and lino prints. And I made £120.
That's good.
Yeah, I was really happy with that at the time.
That's really good, yeah.
The pitch was about £20 and quite enjoyed it. It was next to someone that made jam. So it was like not really the vibe, but a good place to start out. You can't start out at a huge show. You need to work your way up, because otherwise it's a shock.
Yeah, you do. Also, the big shows, like ones that you do now, like they're a lot of money as well. So it's a really big financial risk if you have no idea what you're doing.
Definitely. Starting at a church fete.
That was free. That was a free pitch.
Oh, well, perfect. I could say start small, go big.
Yeah. Don't go big, because then you will go home.
Sad, because you made no money. No, this isn't the vibe. If you're listening now, you've put your first show and it's a big one, you'll be fine. But everyone else, maybe work your way.
Oh, yeah, that applies for everything in starting a small business, I think.
Yeah.
Just start small and then you'll be less disappointed.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Next question.
Do you enjoy doing markets? And if not, what encourages you to still do them? Sorry, I'm still really nasal from my sort of potential COVID.
Okay.
It's not
great.
Don't
worry. That's fine. You turned up. This is the main thing. You don't enjoy them, do you?
I have done them in the past where I've had quite a nice time. The problem is, I find it really, really, really exhausting smiling and talking to customers all day. And if I make loads of money, then I can go home and think, okay, that was a really nice day. But if I've done that all day and then I go home with like £50, I think I've wasted my life, basically. And that has happened to me before.
Yeah.
And sometimes a good market, because my work is quite a low price point. So I have to sell a lot of work at market mm-hmm. to make a lot of money. Whereas your work is quite a high price point. So you could have a really bad market and maybe sell like 3 framed things and still make over 100 mark, which I would say is a good bad day. Yeah. I mean, you're looking, it's a very bad day for you, but you're used to markets. If I'd make £100, I'd have, and I might have only sold cards, I'd have to sell a lot of cards.
Mm.
And sometimes I would get home and I would think I could have made more money just on Etsy, where I wouldn't physically have to have packed all the stuff, stood at the store, you know? And so when that happens, that's upsetting.
Yeah, so you don't really like them that much and you don't do them.
I will probably do them again, but it's obviously more difficult now with a child.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so yes, I enjoy them-ish, but I do them because, first of all, FOMO. Once you start doing a market, if you then don't do it, you just feel you're missing out on customers and also fun. Okay. So that's one thing. And, like, you make friends there and then they all go and then you don't go, sad times. I quite like the adrenaline you get from it. You see people buying your work and liking your work. It's scary, which I think is probably a good thing. And, like, I always think you never know who's going to walk past. It's the, like, what if of not doing it. Like, better to turn up than not turn up at all. But I don't do them for... I do make money at them, but I don't do them... I said this the other week, didn't I? I don't do them to keep my business going. I'd probably do better if I put that time into online sales. I'd probably make more money.
That's interesting. It's kind of what I said. I just think it doesn't... Because if you were paying yourself... an hourly wage, which we're not because we're not that business savvy. But if we were, and then we were taking that off our profits at the end of the day and working out stuff like, you know, what we'd spend. Yeah, I just think we'd be really depressed by it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tricky one. I just think it's good to get out there, meet other makers, meet your customers. Those customers that you have a really good conversation with.
Yeah.
They're the ones that stick around and they'll buy online or they'll come back every year. I've got customers that come back to shows every year and they come to buy my work and then now they have like 8 pieces.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, we've got to get through these questions quicker. There's so many of them.
We're going to do some fast go.
Do you need a card reader or cash is okay? I would say yes, get a card reader.
Yeah, they're only like, I use Zettle, that it's about £30 when it's on offer. Yeah, it's, you need one. You can't go without one. It's a must.
Especially if people are going to spend a lot of money, they're unlikely to be carrying around £50 in cash.
Honestly, since COVID, I take about 4% cash at shows.
Yeah. People might buy a card in cash, but they're not going to probably, I never have cash on me ever.
Oh, also on that note, you also need bags, because even though everyone brings a bag to Sainsbury's, they do not bring one to shows, so they will expect a bag.
Okay.
It's good. Expensive.
Take note, everyone.
Yeah.
Good tips from Molly there.
Mm.
Okay, what about public liability insurance? I would say most markets say you have to have that.
Some cover you, some don't. So you need to go to AN, public liability insurance. I think it's where most artists get their public liability cover.
It's only like £25, isn't it?
I can't remember how much it is. It's around between 50 and 20, I don't know. But it's like a subscription and included in it is public liability. And that's kind of where everyone goes. And I don't really know. I've never had to use it, but...
Okay, how do you judge how much stock to take? Oh, well, that's a tricky one.
It is, unless you do a show more than once, in which case you look back at your sales book. So if you have a book or sheets, I have sheets printed out with like item, cash, card, total, so like a grid. But some people have books. Then you look back at the previous year, you're like, oh, I sold this many things, I sold this many cards. I have a spreadsheet of all my advent calendar sales. So
gosh, so organised.
So at like Malvern last year, which is one of my biggest shows, I sold 85 advent calendars. So this year I'll probably take 100 to give me a bit of leeway.
Also, I would say it depends how many days the show is, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you're coming back in the evenings between...
Because you can restock, yeah. Because when I've only ever done one day market. And I've always wanted to... I've always thought... Maybe one I might quite like to do. I'll never do it because it scares me so much, but I would quite like to do the Bath Christmas market. But the stock thing scares me there. But at least at the end of the day, you would come home and you would go, okay, I can restock. But then I feel like you get zero sleep because you spend every evening from that market just restocking what you sold.
It takes me a lot to be persuaded to do a one-day show. If it's one day, it's not worth moving stuff around. When you get to a point where you've got a lot of stock,
yeah, or maybe you can see my point then about the one-day markets. Maybe that's what put me off.
Yeah, I mean, they're good to start out. Definitely start out with one-day shows. But you'll get to a point where you're like, I'm doing as much effort for one day as I am for four, and I'm making four times as much in the four-day show. Oh, but also, judging how much stock to take if you don't have a book full of past sales. Basically, I think you go between, I'll sell it all, oh no, that'd be a nightmare, or I won't sell any at all. Just kind of, you'll work it out. You have to do a few to work it out, but take a decent amount. But there's no right or wrong answer. I find the more you take, the less you sell.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Okay, how do you overcome your fear of speaking and selling without feeling awkward?
I'd say don't bring a friend or a family member. Just act like a completely different person. You know, like if Sam was stood next to me, he'd be like, who are you? Who is this outgoing person who's like always happy? I don't have to be self-conscious if the person next to me doesn't know you.
I went to see Molly at Bobby Tracy this year, which I have to say was one of the nicest shows I've ever been to. And I said to her, I need to come every year now. Anyway, I feel like you looked most uncomfortable when your parents, me and Adam and Sam, were all stood looking at you. You were like, no, can you go away?
Yeah, no, I'm being market Molly now. You need to leave.
I was really offended. I wanted to be a part of it. But yeah, you looked like, no.
You have to be 100% happy. 100% helpful, and just 100%, like, you have to put on, you have to go in going, I'm going to be confident today, I'm going to speak to people, and some days I don't go in like that, and I go back into my shell, and I have my head down, and I do not do well, and you can go in like that, but you will do a lot better if you speak to people, because they want to connect with you, otherwise they would have just gone online.
Yeah, it's so exhausting being happy all day, though, because a normal person is not happy all day.
No. No, especially when you're really tired because you just spent ages getting ready to do a market.
Okay, can you tell in advance if a market is going to be worth your time?
You could ask around.
Yeah.
To, like, other artists.
That's a good idea.
I'd say normally if it's a cheap market, it's probably not going to be amazing, because if it was amazing, they would have put the prices up.
I've turned down a lot of markets that are like little local people who've messaged me on Instagram to be like, oh, we love your work, do you want to come? And I've just envisioned standing there and selling £10 worth of stuff and then coming home.
Yeah, it's tricky, because some smaller markets will be good, because they'll have a good, you want people to turn up basically, and also for the things around you to reflect what you do, so they need to be the same quality the other stands. And like, so I did a dog and garden show once, and it was awful because people were there for the dogs and the gardens, and then,
and you don't have a lot of dog work either.
No, I didn't have any at that point. And then we were all just stood there. We were so miserable. It was freezing. And then this dog started weeing against my friend's work. And then every other dog wanted to pee on his pee.
Oh, no.
So better to do shows aimed at what you're selling than shows where you're like a bit to fill a space.
Yeah. What I thought was good about the Bristol Etsy one was that, because it was all, it wasn't like all very similar stuff, but it was all in the same sort of category, wasn't it? It was like gifting, stationery, art, and it was and so I feel like that brought in a lot of people, because people knew what to expect, and also obviously it was just before Christmas, so it was a great one for like buying gifts.
Yeah,
I don't think they do that market anymore. I did it.
It was a good one.
Okay, how much should you be prepared to pay for a stand?
How much would you be?
Well, because I've never done more than a one-day one. The most expensive stand I've probably bought is the Froom Market one. And I think it's probably gone up since I last did it. I mean, it would probably definitely have gone up. I think I paid £45 for a 4x4.
That's not bad.
No, because it is a really good market. But as I say, I feel like it will be more now.
I mean, I've paid anywhere from £20 for a one-day show, like a few hours show, to like £750 for a, that was a 3-day show.
£750 scares me so much. As you have to pay that before you've even made anything.
Yeah, you do. And I'd find, actually, the more you pay doesn't necessarily reflect the more you make.
No.
I think if you make good work and you're good at interacting with people, and as long as there are a decent number of people there, you will make a decent amount. Like, I did a show last month, and I made about as much there as I would have at like my most expensive show in a day. On a, like it was like a on a middly bad day, I made on my cheapest market of the year.
Also, you do quite a lot of shows where people have to pay to get in, and what yeah. and if you pay to get in somewhere, you're more likely to spend when you're in there, because otherwise, you know, you've wasted your money, haven't you, getting in?
Yeah, or you've got nothing left.
Yeah, well, no, I think it cuts out people who can't afford to buy things, potentially.
Yeah,
because you're not going to pay a lot of money to get in somewhere unless you are a serious buyer, I think, anyway.
Yeah, but I'd say if you're just starting out, look at prices between £20 and £60 a day, and then work your way up to more expensive ones. Ones that are £1,000, £2,000, like things like Country Living, that
Bath
kind of thing.
Christmas Market is about that.
Yeah, but that's for weeks, isn't it?
5 days, I think.
I think you need to know you're going to make that money back and be really confident in what you're doing at markets. And I would not go for a really big show until you're ready. It's too much pressure.
Good advice. Listen to Molly. She's the market queen. Right. Do you have a specific answer for customers who try to barter?
Yeah, I say, well, no, I'm going to take this to the next show. It's not going to go off.
Have you actually ever said that to someone?
Yeah, because they say at the end of the show, oh, come on, it's the last hour, will you do a present? And I was like, no, I'm taking this to the next show. What are you on about? You moron. I don't say that, but I think it. So I'd just say, even if it's a line, just say, oh, I've literally got another show coming up, so all this stock's going there, and then just know. If they ask for discount, they don't deserve discount.
No, and also know your worth. Don't sell cheaper just because, you know, you're panicking, it's the end of the market. Because you're worth what you've priced yourself at.
Yeah, don't allow the barters to barter.
No. Framed or unframed prints? And if you take framed prints, how do you display them?
What did you do?
Mainly unframed, because they're so much easier to just put in a like a print rack and people can look through them. But with your print, I feel like your prints are so lovely framed, and because a lot of your prints are not standard sizes, so people would have to frame them themselves, it's obviously a really good upsell, isn't it, for you to sell them framed.
Yeah, I think actually taking them all unframed isn't a problem at all. Framing is expensive, they get bashed about, it's a pain. And also I find I sell way more unframed than framed most
of
the time. Yeah, I would not first of all frame them in terrible quality frames.
Oh no,
because I know it's cheap. But they, like, IKEA ones are reconstituted wood, like plastic, horrible. They're not going to last. It's not doing a favour for your customer. Better to keep it in a cello sleeve and sell it like that.
Also,
personally.
people might have really specific, you know, I don't know, they might only have brown wood frames in their house.
Yeah.
So if you framed everything in black, they might just not buy it because it doesn't match their decor.
Yeah, and I know that an extra cost for markets would be selling them to a picture framers. Like, that is unaffordable for a lot of people before a market to frame things. So I would say you could have like your four best-selling works in frames and display them. I have two bits of plywood with hinges, like a corner. I have two of those,
like a fake wall.
But I would not stress about framing things, because honestly, and you can with unframed prints you can peg them and nail them to the wall anyway, so I'd say better to have unframed than badly framed. But I am a picture framer and I am a framing snob.
Okay. Do you increase your prices to cover the stall fee?
No. Do you? Did you?
No.
Because the fees online are often quite high, like Etsy. And then you've got to think, the packaging, like, my packaging cost me so much money.
Yeah.
And then postage. Like, I just think, actually, it's not that much more expensive.
That is a positive to selling that I didn't say earlier. Because I said I can make the same amount online, but obviously when you make it online you have to package it and post it, and when you sell it at market, all of that is dealt with. And also you don't have to deal with customers being like, oh, it didn't turn up, oh, it's damaged, because they've seen it and they've taken it away. So that is a real positive, selling at a market.
I don't think it's good to up them to cover the store fee. You need to be consistent. If you're having to do that, your prices aren't priced properly, to be honest.
How many markets do you do per year, and which markets have you most enjoyed?
I do about 7 a year, and I most enjoy the Bovey Tracy Craft Festival because I've been going there since I was a child, and it is a dream. But I do enjoy them all, otherwise I wouldn't do them.
The standard of of work at Bobby Tracy was like amazing. Mm. Everything was nice.
I know.
Which it's I think
so scary.
Yeah. It was really, it was a lovely, lovely market.
What about you?
I've done zero markets a year for the last...
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. But I did really, I know I put down the market, the F-Room market suitcase pitch a bit.
Yeah.
But when I upgraded to a main pitch, I absolutely love the Froome Independent Market. And I live really near to Froome. And where possible, if I'm free, I always go to that market. Because, again, I feel the standard is so high. And I walk around it and I want to buy everything. And I feel like it's a great one to start because it's not a huge market. It's not a tiny market. You're guaranteed there's going to be loads of people there. And it's just
it's busy.
And it's just lovely. And it's got really nice vibe about it. And I love it.
Well done. I think you've dug yourself out of that hole you dug earlier.
No, the suitcase store was a good place to start. It's just when I didn't realise when I booked it quite why it was quite so cheap, I don't think.
Mm, yeah. And then you found out.
Yeah, and I literally was next to a bin.
But this next one's interesting. We've got opposite opinions.
What, this next question?
Mm.
Do you take someone with you to help you run your store? Yeah, I've never done it alone. Adam would always drive me and come with me. And I can't imagine doing it alone because of that.
Mm. So I always do it on my own. And the worst thing is having to carry your own, like all your own stuff. I have a full car full. Sometimes a bit more than a car full, I do 2 trips. Can you hear a baby?
Not sure.
I'll keep going. And it's horrible having to carry your own stuff. But Sam has, like, come to shows with me and, like, gone for a walk and then come back. And he just knows he's not really welcome there and he doesn't love it. And I need to be Market Molly and I can't be that with him there. And I'm at work. I don't follow him to work. And I have that, like, a lot of separation. I don't really like anyone walking into my studio, let alone my stand.
See, I found it really useful because if I need to go to the toilet, then Adam can watch the store. If I'm really hungry or I'm really thirsty, Adam can go and get us drinks and snacks. And I do think I really liked him being there. But I see what you're saying. I see both points of view. But it's just so much work unpacking and setting up. Yeah. And then, like, what do you do if you don't know anyone there and you need the loo?
Well, you always make friends with your store holders. And most people will, well, a lot of people have a partner with them.
Yeah.
They normally get food for you, like some nice person. And I just don't drink water and therefore I don't need the loo.
Wow. I don't think you should take that advice from Molly. That is bad dehydration advice.
I do have kidney problems. Don't take advice from me.
Okay. Ideas for decorating your table and unique ways to display your work. I think this really depends what you're selling.
I think you shouldn't be decorating your table. Your work needs to speak for itself. And if you have too much other stuff, they'll be like, what is actually for sale here? Is it the fairy lights and the bunting? Or is it the artwork?
That's true. I would just invest in a really good signage of your business so that people know how to look you up online afterwards.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got things to take away, like business cards. Mm-hmm. And then as Moni says, your work should do the talking. Oh, and a nice tablecloth, depending on what sort of table you've been given initially.
Also, like height, you need to think about height. Don't have everything on the table. Have things stacked up. Things need to be at eye level, above eye level, waist level.
I think I've used like a Hessian tablecloth before, which was quite nice.
I'm like minimalist because I would like to display my work in a white cube gallery, so I try and make my stand, you know. But I use an old suitcase to make things higher, so like I do have a few props.
I used to use some nice like old tin, not suitcases, but you know, like tin storage things.
Oh yeah,
and then they were colours that went with my work, and I would open them and put prints and cards and stuff in there. And because my work's really colourful, having colourful props like that went with my work.
Yeah, I think you've got to like look at your own work and work out what goes with it. But I used to put fairy lights on my table, and honestly I look back now and I'm like, that did not go with my work. And awful.
Well, then
that might go with yours.
That's probably your answer to what don't you take.
No, I have an answer for that.
Okay.
And it is, do not take your dog. I actually have to take Winnie to my next one, but all they do is
do
look
you?
At the dog.
Oh.
They won't see anything. They won't see your work. They go, oh, cute dog. And then they'll walk on. And they'll block your stand looking at your dog. Honestly, it's terrible. If you're going to take your dog, hide it.
Also, I just think it's a nuisance you don't need on the day, because then your dog might need a wee, and then, I mean, you can't stop your dog needing a wee. You're going to have to take it out, and it's just a wee.
I mean, I am taking her, but it's because I don't have anyone else.
How, this is impossible. How not to be exhausted / drained after? Does it just take practice? It is exhausting. I don't know if there's a way to not be exhausted. You've done it wrong if you're not exhausted afterwards.
The last Bubby Tracy one I did, I wasn't exhausted after. I just had, like, had a nice time. I think the thing is, to help that is make sure you have a good night's sleep. So make sure you're staying somewhere comfortable if you can. When I'm camping, I am exhausted after because I can't sleep properly.
That's because Molly camped in her car.
Yes, it is. So somewhere nice to sleep. And I often go out and socialise in the evenings with people, but actually that can add to the exhaustion. And also, normally markets are on a weekend, so take your weekend after the market, Monday, Tuesday, have it off to recover.
I'm surprised at you.
Yeah, well, I've never done that, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, you should do that. It's good advice.
Sometimes I try to, but I normally have, like, meetings and I just can't.
That's another reason I resented markets, because I have never done them as someone who's been entirely self-employed. So I would work my 5-day graphic design job, and then the 2 days off I had a week, I would be getting ready for market and at the market. And then I'd have to go back to my job on Monday, and I'd be like, I've had no time off.
Yeah, it's not ideal if you're employed.
I do think I'd enjoy them more as someone who's self-employed.
Yeah.
But, I just need some persuading. I need some persuading to do it again. But
you
should
do one with me. We could be neighbours.
That would be really fun. Yeah,
it would.
Okay, the biggest mistakes / lessons learned.
Taking your dog. I don't know.
Make sure you do your research on what the pitch that you're paying for is. Because if it seems too cheap and too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistakes are doing bad markets, but they teach you a lesson, and the lesson is don't do them again. So I don't think it's bad to make mistakes at markets. It is all lessons.
Mm.
But there aren't any I can think of that have gone that terribly, because I've always kind of talked to other people and been like, oh, is that a good show? I think that's really good, that communication between local makers.
Yeah. I love this question. Favourite question. What is your favourite snack to get you through?
What's yours?
Well, when I did the Froom market, another bonus is that it's not just art. There's lots and lots of food there.
Mm.
There's the store that made the best veggie sausage rolls ever. So that was quite like going there.
I never really buy food at shows because I just don't want to spend any of my profit. So I normally take, I really like those brioche buns you can get that have like chocolate in the middle. I think you're meant to heat them up, but I just like when the chocolate's really solid. I also really like Watsits. I like, it's a bit of a running joke that I'm always eating at shows. And I eat crisps, chocolate, cereal bars, and I don't really drink anything. It's bad. But,
yeah, but that's kind of food to keep you going, isn't it?
Grapes.
Mm.
Although Sam told me grapes have like basically no nutritional value. I didn't know that.
I don't love grapes, so I could take. No, but
they store okay, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and not actually another biggest mistake: doing a show in an outdoor place like a marquee with artwork that can get wet.
Oh, sorry, he's definitely up, and I don't know why Adam isn't going to get him.
Do you wanna just go get Adam?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's not ideal.
So while B is out the room, I'll just add one more thing, which is, I can hear her shouting for Adam. I have like a sheet saved on my computer, and it's got like a list of everything I take to shows with a tick box. And every time I do a show, I print that sheet out so that I don't have to think, what do I need? I know what I need. And anything when I go to a show and if there's something that wasn't on the list, I'll add it to the list for next time, because it's exhausting trying to remember what you need. So I find that really helpful. I think that's everything. And now I'm just going to wait for B. Maybe we can have an edition of Maxi on the podcast. Oh, it's Maxi! Hey, Maxi!
Adam's on a work call, so...
That's okay. Well... He looks so confused. Maxi, it's Gumu.
Can you see Gumu? I don't want to strangle you with the headphones.
Maxi's name for me is Gumu.
Yeah.
And not that he can say it yet, but that's going to be his first word.
I think it will be.
Oh, hello.
He's never seen Molly on a screen before. He's like, what's going on?
He's smiling.
Are you giving Gumu big smiles?
I gave a little bit more advice while you were gone.
Did you?
So we're done with that section.
Oh, really? What did you say? I'm going to have to listen.
Yeah, you can be listening. It's fine. So do you want to tell the story about Margot, or do you want to just finish up and we'll tell it, or we'll leave it as a cliffhanger? Hello. Do you want to leave it as a cliffhanger for next?
He's on the podcast now, so he's famous. Oh, Margot's here as well. It's a family affair. it's not that great a story anymore. I feel like the moment's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to tell it next time, because I think it's a brilliant story. Okay. So it's a reason to tune back in next week. No, not next week, next month. Don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll come up with something. So I know you're distracted. Lots of things going on.
It's okay. He's loving sitting looking at you.
Maxie, do you want to wrap things up?
You wrap it up with a smile. What better way to wrap up than with a big smile?
Thank you very much for listening. Sorry it's been the most manic record we've ever done.
It has been crazy. But hopefully it was helpful. And I think Molly's given you a lot of good tips and advice there. And I think, you know, she knows a lot about markets. Listen to what she has to say.
Yeah. and you've given another perspective on it as well, someone that chooses not to do them. And
Molly's next market is Malvern.
Yeah, it's Malvern. It's not RHS, just Malvern Autumn, 22nd to the 24th of September. Come say hi. Free gift for all podcast listeners. What else do we normally say at the end?
Oh, well, don't forget to follow our Instagram, Out of Ink Pod. Mm-hmm. And rate, review, subscribe.
He's finding this so amusing.
They can't hear you because you're through my headphones, so he's just seeing sort of silent
through
me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. I'm screenshotting it.
It'd be good for the, the old Instagram. Are you still putting fun polls on our episodes? Because I did enjoy those.
Oh, yeah, I'll try and remember to do that. Yeah, you can vote on Spotify.
Also, you can email us at outofinkpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, you
there
can.
May be a delay.
Oh, also, we've got new exciting merch coming soon. Oh, yeah. We just ordered it yesterday.
Oh, we're so excited for this. So we're hopefully going to launch it possibly end of October.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Should we give anything more away, or should we leave them in suspense until then?
Well, you're going to need one.
You are going to need one.
And you're going to have to buy one.
We're very excited about it. So
we are.
Yeah. This is fine. We could have just done the podcast with him the whole time.
Yeah, we could have. He's so good, isn't he?
I think he's just distracted. He's not really ever been in this room, so he's like, whoa.
Oh, really? And also, he doesn't get to look at screens.
He doesn't, no.
He's got such wide eyes.
Yes.
What is this?
Because you're really quite large on my huge computer screen. You're almost life-size.
Wow. How exciting. Right, I'll let you go. Sorry for all the chaos this morning. I feel like you're never going to forgive me.
No, I will. We saved it. I think it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a big sigh. I'm going to say bye to Kumu.
Bye, Maxie. Bye-bye.
Bye.